This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Well, I got a couple Trumps riding on Bentley over BC on Friday, so those Falcons better play their you-know-what's off, or I'm gonna be sending some DMs in the direction of Bentley University.
The Trumps thing, I don't think it's sticking. I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
But you drank the special shake thing last night.
Yeah, I drank that last night. That sucks, and it's massive. It was my Alex Borgman for my butt.
Are they?
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Officials feel like it isn't fair to those who don't know how to download an app to get the coupon. So this is good news for Greg. Because
I know how to download an app.
Well, with the help of Ashley or Lindsay or myself.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
Well, yeah, you are. You're tied down to him, but you weren't supposed to be tied down to him. You were supposed to be in bed with him. And now it looks like a geek. Saturday morning didn't look so good.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Go.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up, what up?
How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. Apologies in advance. I was awakened throughout the evening because Bullet had a sore tummy.
Oh,
and my. So if I am low energy today, Curtis, it's because I was awake from 2 till 3 and 4 till 4:30.
That's the worst.
So I apologize.
Is he okay?
Well, yes. I mean, I don't even want to. His mom was very nervous and very anxious, and so his mom ended up taking him to the emergency vet place, which is very affordable in the middle of the night, Curtis. I don't know if you know that or not, but
my dad's still working because of it.
It was any guesses at it was? I'll tell you, it was a mere $2,500 to make sure.
Wow.
Make sure that he had the Noro or whatever it was.
Yeah, listen. So. Put some soda in his, some ginger ale in his doggy bowl, and he'll be able to get through the night.
Give him a couple Digels or
something. There's got to be
Rolaids, whatever. Yep. Yeah,
just like we have a human pharmacy section in CVS, there's got to be something for dogs in there.
Bullet's young. He'll live many, many more years and look forward to many more bills like that.
Yeah, I think he will. So, the poor guy, I don't know what he ate. Or it probably wasn't food. He tends to eat a lot of shoes and a lot of remotes. And he tends to eat the things that are most valuable to his human caretakers. Right. I don't know why they do that. Yeah. It's brilliant on the dog's part.
It is.
If you leave them, if you happen to have to go somewhere and leave them, they go directly at your most prized possessions.
So he eats Lindsay's jewelry and your Yasso bars?
Yeah, it comes right at my – it's not the – I actually, unfortunately, Curtis, have found myself, instead of getting the Yassos, the Greek yogurt bars, which are 100 calories, I've been getting the Van Leeuwen bars at the grocery store, and they are not 100 calories.
Well, you live once. Might as well do it right.
But anyway, here we are, and it is opening day. And it's finally arrived. Your Boston Red Sox playing baseball, meaningful baseball today. And it would appear, based on what Alex Cora said on this radio station yesterday, that they have somehow been able to massage the ego of Rafi Devers, and he is okay and good with DHing.
All right. Curtis was right about that one.
Yeah. Isn't there a bet that rides on that today?
I don't think we bet on it.
We don't do any betting.
I thought you and Wiggy had a bet or something.
No.
Courtney and I were thinking that he would be at third base.
Yeah, we were on the same page with that one.
Yeah. Greg and I are on the same team, and when it comes to Sox, we're never wrong.
No. I don't know if he was that passionate about it that he felt the need to immediately at the start of spring training the demand that he get his opportunity to play third base. What happened? He actually saw Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I don't know
playing the position and decided. Wait a second, I'm wrong.
Cora must be a great masseuse.
I guess
because he was able to get him to, like you said, massage his ego, and he did a good job of that, getting Devers to say, okay, I'm not going to let it bother me, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to DH, and I'm going to do whatever I got to do for the team.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Expectations certainly high. We talked about that a bit on the show yesterday. Sean, you were way off yesterday. I think I caught you off guard. You were way off on the over-under where you were at 91 or something like that. It seems to be 86.5
I looked it up and then said that 3 minutes later afterwards.
So, and you're remind me again, because I think you're paying off a bet today. Am I correct?
I am, yeah. I'm currently wearing merch from the one and only Baseball Brett because a Lannister pays his debts, and so I am coming through with that. I got the hat. I got the sweatshirt. By the way, sweatshirt's actually really nice, so I have no problem wearing it.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. But where are you this season on the over?
I am on the over.
You are?
86.5 seems low to me. I would put it closer to that 90 number. That's kind of where I think they'll be. So I will go over on the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, they're a playoff team. And they'll be over 86. I would take the over on that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, barring any kind of significant injury, and by significant injury, I guess that really only means pitching staff.
Your rotation.
It seems like you got guys, and I think no jinx here, but at some point, Trevor Story's going to have some sort of an injury, but you got Marcelo Meyer ready to go, and you want eventually want Marcelo Meyer up with the ball.
Right.
So
you have a lot of flexibility in your infield. Is if, you know, if something were to happen and Meyer wasn't ready, you could easily slide Bregman to shortstop, put Devers at third. You have that flexibility to do a bunch of things with your infield is what you haven't had before. I think this team is a playoff team, and I think that's, you know, obviously they're going to shoot for the division because that's kind of the way you're always worked in sports, win your division, and then you'll get into the playoffs and go from there. But, I mean, I don't really care if they win the division. Just make the postseason. You make the postseason, in baseball, we know you get in, you have a chance.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, 4:05, first pitch today on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app, and it is Will and Will on the game call today for us, and one of the Wills, Will Middlebrooks, will join us on this show at 8:20 this morning, and he will break down this upcoming Red Sox season.
I got to tell you, as long as the starting rotation doesn't join the Greg Hill Show, I think they're going to be a damn good team all year long. I feel like Giolito's got waylaid by us, but everybody else is ready to go, and it's just I'm looking forward to watching the Red Sox, listening to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be a season where they will be of note, either underachieving, overachieving, but it's the first time in 5 years they actually should be good, which is kind of fun.
And you'll be able to watch them as long as you can find them on NESN. Are the actual regular season games going to be on NESN, just to be clear?
Can we talk about is it going to be your lead, the story you sent me from Forbes, Greg?
No, okay. But it's an interesting story.
Yeah, so the amount of money that, according to Forbes, God knows, I'm sure Sam Kennedy will say they're barely breaking even at nine.
Pretty good source, Forbes.
I mean, it's not their first rodeo, I would expect.
Not as good as the Atlantic, but
I mean,
anyway,
did you see the trade plans Breslow sent to the Bronx?
No, I didn't see that.
The story is endlessly fascinating and moronic, the way in which people can't just say they screwed up. Anyway, but the Forbes story says that the Red Sox had an operating income, which I Googled means profit, of $120 million.
The best in Major League Baseball.
Not
40
bad.
Million more than the second best, the Cubs. And Courtney used to work there, and I don't think they treated her great, but NESN has a lot of good people there that they just laid off. They're operating it like it's I mean this, it's like Watertown TV, like local closed, like cable
PBS?
Access. Not even PBS. It's like, it's unbelievable to me the manner in which that they run that business. And how they cut corners, and yet people say to me, you can't combine Red Sox profit, Liverpool, the Penguins. Well, clearly that shows you they do.
And can I just say, like, to pull back the curtain a little bit, the reason why I'm always upset when it comes to the Penguins and the Henrys, you know, buying in on them is because now NESN runs all of those broadcasts. So instead of paying the people that have worked there for millions and millions of years, they take shortcuts there, and then they expand what those people need to do. And that's when I get upset when it comes to NESN, because they just laid off some of the hardest working people that I've ever worked with. And some of the
hello.
I said some.
We're right here.
I said some.
I mean, have you ever seen Wiggy after the show? I mean, sometimes he's here for hours.
Yeah. It is true.
I kind of do what everybody else does after the show.
Wiggy is like Speedy Gonzalez.
I love only one who leaves right after the show, but I always see everybody else leaving with me. Other than you, Greg, you're the only one who kind of hangs around and talks to people.
I mean, what about
but me, Courtney?
Shime and I are here.
I don't see Shime.
Shime's here.
Shime stays around. But me, Courtney, and Curtis, we're chucking the deuce.
You come back and give me your reads every single day, and I'm sitting in my chair. My little office back.
That's why I say you got to put up stuff. But me, Courtney,
there are
and
some
Curtis,
days I stay
and Chuck the Deuce.
Yeah. So
I could stay.
I almost never stay.
I could stay too, and just shoot the ish with people.
That's not what I'm doing. But okay,
here we go.
I'm not going down this road. All I'm trying to say is that's when I get upset when it comes to the Penguins, because NESN is now spread very thin when it comes to covering not just the Red Sox, the Bruins, now the Penguins.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hang around in Ken's office today and have small talk.
Talking
that's
to
really
Ken
not
is
what's going on. But you are more.
It,
you
Greg
are.
You I've been around.
I'm not even arguing this with him this morning.
Next why time not there's a bracket, I'll just give my Canva over to Wiggy, and he can do it.
All right. anyway.
Some of us have to be idea guys.
That's right.
Right. Yep. Curtis and I, we do our part when it comes to sending the stories.
I agree.
And you know what,
we're
Curtis?
The story people.
That light bulb can go off whether you're here in the office or whether you're at home. Yep. Right?
It can go on at any point. And when I'm here, there's you, and then for 3 days of the week, it's just tumbleweed.
Yes.
It's like, are you talking to walls? Dale, what did you think on this day 7 years ago?
I get some of my best work done at home.
All right. Well, it's opening day. And we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. I mentioned that Will Middlebrooks will join us at 8:20. The president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, will be on this show at 9 for the first front office report of this season. And before that, we will get to our leads in about 10 minutes, or at least try to begin them in about 10 minutes. And then they set it at 7. That is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, and we will definitely go back and forth on what LeBron James said yesterday about whether he and Michael Jordan will ever speak to each other. So I don't know how, now that Wiggy and I are engrossed in Celtic City, I would assume that we haven't got to it necessarily yet, but I would assume that Larry Bird and Dr. J, who was his big rival, and of course Magic Johnson, didn't have a provision on not speaking to each other ever. I think they probably spoke here and there. So
I don't know. Bird didn't like anybody. He didn't like anybody.
It's so interesting to me that
what a goofy looking guy.
What, Larry Bird?
The footage was so funny when he in that white get up walking to practice the first time.
Yeah,
is this?
And that's what I think guys thought in the NBA. Wait a second.
I thought Max was phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
he
was good.
Talking about how he was like, this guy sucks, and he's like, oh damn.
Also, how about I think it was Kevin McHill talking about being drafted here. And being, so excited about joining the Boston Celtics, and they are practicing at basically a CYO gym, like a gym in a Catholic church.
I think it was a Jewish community center.
Well, no, it's like Hellenic College or something in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was like one hoop.
Right. With the stage in the back that they do shows there.
Yes. I mean,
but you know what Larry represented? He was Tiger and Caitlin Clark. Like, he was a guy that brought a different audience or increased the audience of a fan base that got representation in a sport. And unlike the WNBA, the guys in the NBA actually didn't like him, but grew to respect him, and they created this great era of basketball. And you look at Tiger and the PGA, obviously much more talented than Larry in his sport, but what those guys did, I just look at the Caitlin Clark phenomena as such a silly, wasted opportunity by the WNBA, where they've done everything they can to silence her, starting with the Olympic team, when you had this huge audience, that thought she was this opportunity to watch someone that looked like them as a young girl perform at the highest level, and it was at every stage. People that were in the league didn't want her to be a part
of it. It's because Bird, even though it was thrown on him and it wasn't who he was, he bought into the great white hope thing. Like, when Bird first starts talking when he was younger, and he was like, I really learned how to play basketball with all the black dudes that worked down at whatever the hotel he used to go to and play.
Yeah.
And then, so for me, I didn't care who I played against, but when him and Magic got to the NBA, there were fans. Remember they interviewed that fans? It's crazy how we think about how this was, and this was like in the 80s. There were fans that were like, I like watching the Celtics, but there's just too many black basketball players.
I brought that up yesterday. They're interviewing a Boston guy mid-game, and it's like, I like the Celtics, but generally in the NBA, there's too many black dudes.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. This was the 80s. There's too many black players out there, but I do like basketball, and I think that's why people are not coming. Their thing was people weren't coming to watch the game because there was too many black players.
I didn't realize, I was only 14 at the time, And I didn't remember that the NBA was in as bad of a shape as it was in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even they show the Garden prior to the arrival of Bird.
Right.
And there's not, it wasn't a sellout. Like, nope. So the NBA was in rough shape.
Yeah, because wasn't at that time, and I remember talking to my grandfather about this and my uncle. I think, like, the ABA, they kind of introduced their style of basketball, and it was a lot more flashy and everything. Kind of the NBA was going downhill, and then with Magic and Bird, it became, they played against each other in the national championship, but it became the Great White Hope versus the flashy Showtime of Black Magic Johnson, and that's what the league kind of built it on. But then Bird was so talented, and kind of bought into that role.
Yeah.
And that's what was able to take the NBA to the next level.
And the other thing that the episode did a good job of was also the comparison you could take with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark having the built-in rivalry from college.
Yep.
Like that Indiana State. I had no idea that college basketball was bigger than the NBA.
Yeah.
In terms of viewership, in terms of all of that. Like that, I thought it was a really well done episode.
Also,
a lot of things I didn't know.
Rather embarrassing for the musicologist in the room, but I don't know how I missed while I was growing up in Stowe, the hit song in the 80s about the Boston Celtics, No More Games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that obviously wasn't on the radio stations that I was listening to
growing
up.
You would have had to listen to WILD.
I guess. Wasn't on WAAF or WCOZ or WBCN.
Kiss 108 wasn't playing.
I guess I should have turned into the great Coach Willie May on WILD.
Coach Willie May, come on down to downtown. Yeah. Let's get the job done.
That's a pretty good tune.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic.
I mean, it's 80s, but it's
1980, I guess it came out. And then I guess we'd have to play the remix of the Hanging Tough, which was the Donnie Wahlberg and the New Kids one, kind of their anthem.
They sampled, did they sample No More Games in that? Or?
No, I think they just took the No More Games kind of theme and said this was kind of, because Hanging Tough was, and they tried to sell Hanging Tough to the Celtics.
Yeah.
How long was WILD on air?
A long time.
So
that strikes me as Curtis's go-to radio station, like growing up.
It was all hip hop, R&B.
And Curtis loves hip hop and R&B.
He doesn't.
He wasn't even born yet.
I do enjoy hip hop. I run to it or exercise.
Yeah.
I feel like he's always the one that's telling Chime to play the hip hop songs.
Just the Carter. Just, I like that song.
Just like Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Lil Wayne guy.
This was like early hip hop, soul, R&B. It was on AM. So Curtis, when were you born?
1984.
Yeah, 1984. So it was still around, but Curtis would have been a baby.
I don't think he's really listening. I was reared on Dennison Callahan and the Traffic on the
30s. I don't think Curtis is really listening to Curtis Mayfield when he's seven years old.
Well, Greg's favorite station right now is WOLD. I don't know if you knew that.
Smashed him.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on this morning show, including Courtney with what is trending right now.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics win easy against the Suns, 132 to 102, the final in Arizona. No Jason Tatum. Kristaps Porzingis led the way with 30 points. And not the same energy for the Bruins, who dropped their seventh straight, this time to the Ducks. Final score 6-2. Happy opening day. The Red Sox are in Texas to take on the Rangers. It's the former Sox ace versus the new, as Garrett Crochet will take the mound for the Sox, while Nathan Eovaldi will take it for the Rangers. First pitch at 4:05. You can listen to that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, starting with Christian Arcan on the pregame show at 3:05. Like Greg said, Will and Will are on the call. And when it comes to who's going to DH and who's going to be at third base, Alex Cora joined the afternoon show yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
We made a decision. Alex is going to play third. Rafi's going to DH. We all are in the winning business, and he understands that. It's like everything, right? You don't have to agree with it, but at the end of the day, what are we going to do to go out there and perform every single day? The kid is ready to go. He's going to hit second against lefties and righties, and he's going to DH. And I think having Alex behind him is going to benefit him. Honestly, I expect a great season from Rafi offensively.
There you go.
I mean, honestly, if it stays that way all season long,
right,
and Rafael Devers is not rumbling and whining about it, then you got to give credit to Alex Cora.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow he was able to massage that ego and get Rafi comfortable with that. So
good job by Cora.
Yep.
Good job by Alex Cora.
March Madness resumes today. BYU is taking on Alabama to kick things off at 7:09. Then Florida faces off with Maryland. Duke has Arizona, and Texas Tech has Arkansas. The NCAA hockey tournament kicks off today. Half of the 16 teams in it are from New England, which is crazy. Only one other time that has happened. 2 p.m., we'll see BU and Ohio State. 5 p.m., Western Michigan and Minnesota State face off. Michigan State and Cornell take the ice at 5:30. And Minnesota and UMass end the day at 8:30.
Courtney, I strong recommendation. I will tweet it out. Jeremy Schapp did a story on the Bruins season, on the obvious passing of the Goudreau brothers, but also Tony Vose, I played against Tony Vose at Rivers. He was at Lawrence Academy. He was a stud at BC in hockey. But in football, the most unbelievable play I've ever seen, Greg. We had a pitch behind the line of scrimmage at the 1 yard line. Tony Vose intercepted the pitch and ran it 99 yards for a touchdown. He lost his life this past summer.
Oh.
And Jeremy Schapp notes about those three guys and how they have galvanized and how the BC hockey team is playing for them. A really, really good read as you get ready to watch college hockey this weekend.
Wow, that's great. And for the love of mouth-watering tender roast, hurry to Shaw's and Star Market. Right now, beef eye of round roast or bottom round roast is just $3.97 a pound when using digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Oh, it's opening day, Greg. I just, when I think baseball, I think a dome in Arlington, Texas. You'll be ready 4 o'clock today here on the Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. But in Boston, it's freezing effing cold. It feels like 24 afternoon high, sunny in the mid-40s.
It's like 1980 all over again. At the great Larry Wedgeworth.
Yeah.
And of course, Wiggy, the Click.
Yeah.
That's Larry Wedgeworth and the Click.
You had the moves, huh?
I had the disco moves.
Yeah.
No disco moves. I miss disco.
That's actually my parents' wedding song.
Until I saw Celtic City, episode 4, I had no idea that was a hit because the Celtics were back. No more games. We're going all the way.
Right. So. That was after the, 81 championship?
Yes.
Yep.
You prefer that to pitch, please.
Oh no! Actually, like
Pritch,
both of them.
Please.
Pritch, when I say pitch,
Pritch.
Not pitch
opening
perfect.
Day. Opening day.
Yeah.
Baseball's on my mind, as it always is.
We got to hit up acrobatic, but no, I prefer. I like both of them. I like anything that's done Boston related.
Yeah.
So, that brings back some, you know, like that time, the 80s, because Courtney said off air the 80s was, she heard it was a great era, but
it was.
I always hear it was the best.
It was some fun times.
Is that what the youngins say?
Yeah.
That the 80s was the best?
Yeah. Is it the best music, the best movies, the best clothes, hairstyles?
I think it was a pretty good, pretty good decade.
70s and 80s, to me, best music era around. You know, and I lean more towards 70s than I wasn't even really, you know, I was born in 75, so I didn't really get to experience it. But as I started to get older and, you know, whether it was my mother playing music or, you know, listening to what my grandfather played.
That's a hot take. So for every genre of music, you think the 70s was the best decade?
Yeah, I love the disco. I love the R&B. I love, like, Curtis Mayfield. I love Bobby Womack.
On the rock side of things.
On the rock side of
Rolling
things.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I was a Bee Gees fan too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Phil Collins. So, I mean,
in the air tonight.
Yeah. But no, it just had. I don't know. I mean,
we all agree the 90s was the worst in terms of just fashion, like starter jackets.
No, that's back.
Yeah,
the 90s are back.
Yeah, the 90s era of clothes.
Yeah.
Everything comes back.
Yeah, I love that. I love the
90s
era.
Stuff.
Like the weirdly, the jeans,
the Kangols and the Timberlands and the triple fat goose jackets, 8-ball jackets.
I was just triple fat holding the goose jacket.
Those were the good times. Those are the good times as far as your clothes.
All right. Well, tomorrow on this show, a Pudge's pal in the studio.
Oh, I got to get that to Mitch. Yes.
Okay.
Cannot wait.
Oh, my God. He's a cutie.
I have an idea.
Yep.
Because the draft snobs no offense, Shime, are this is the height of their relevancy. So you're releasing your mock 3.0 next week?
Correct.
Would it be okay? Because, I mean, I understand that you put a lot of effort into your mocks.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a lot of film.
Yep.
But really, I mean, nobody knows what is going to happen in the draft, so it's...
That's why it's an exercise, Greg. Pure science, if you will.
But just as a science, speaking of science, as an experiment, when the Pudge... Do you know the name of Pudge's pal, Curtis?
Yeah, Rafferty.
Okay.
He's a 4.5-month-old Aussie Shepherd mix who is 15 pounds.
I was thinking yesterday, could we take some kind of a, like a big whiteboard and perhaps put a photo...
Oh, there he is on Twitch.
Oh, I can't take it. The different colored eyes is like my weakness.
Do you want him?
I mean, I love him. And the little like different colored nose. Oh, my gosh. I love him.
Oh. He needs a forever home.
He does.
That he does.
But could we like take a big whiteboard, take a photo of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, whoever Shime thinks the top 10 will be draft-wise, and put some kind of a treat next to each.
Mm. Can we do this with Jackson?
And then we will have Rafferty?
What, yep. That?
Yep.
Rafferty select, do his mock.
I like this a lot.
We'll see, based on the treats that he takes, and then we'll see if Rafferty's mock is better than Shime's mock.
Okay, sounds good.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Fine by me.
Okay, all right.
That's we can call it a mutt draft instead of a mock draft.
And I'm not discounting the amount of effort that you put in.
No, definitely not. By no means are you discounting that.
I mean, the hours and hours that you put into it, Shime, I mean, what else would you be doing?
You're right. What else would I be doing?
Not like you have a fiance or anything you could be spending time with.
Yeah, she works 8 hours a day.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
All right, so when he gets home, it's full on dive in, Pokemon, anime, hentai. It's just like
draft.
After he charges the car.
Nope. The beauty is you can go plug it in and go off and do whatever you want.
All right. Anyway, a Pudge's pal in here tomorrow morning. Right now, though, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Shime, you have me stumped. I do not know the artist.
That would be the band Alabama with the song Cheap Seats.
Okay, Cheap Seats. It is opening day and Leeds this morning brought to you by the trusted 2025 Subaru Forester. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Shime, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. I love football, but the NFL sometimes is really dumb. And maybe somebody else can explain this to me, but they've since edited one of the rules. Normally, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties are handed out for taunting after a play happens. Now, they've included certain celebrations. Last year, they made an emphasis on the gun thing.
Yeah.
They were like, nope, can't
finger
do that.
Gun.
Yep, so now they've clarified it as all violent gestures. And one of the sack celebrations we're very familiar with because Matthew Judon did it quite a bit was the nose wipe.
Yes.
Apparently that is now considered a violent gesture by the NFL and will result in a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Can somebody explain to me how a nose wipe with your arm is a violent gesture?
It's a gang sign, I believe.
Is it actually?
Saying. Yeah, that's what they said.
Also, are you talking about during a pandemic?
Good point.
Because,
yeah, what if he's just sick?
Right, I mean,
if he's got a runny nose,
you could be threatening others with your germs. I mean, we went through a period of time where it was very dangerous to sing happy birthday around others.
Could it be drug related? Wiping your nose is like a drug thing?
He said it's like a gang sign, meaning you're out for blood or something like that against people you don't like.
Okay.
Well, now, Greg, listen, I don't know all the gang signs.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of meaning behind them. So I guess the NFL, you're doing their job, tapping in, like to say, oh, some kid's going to be watching that at home.
I thought we were bringing back celebrations, and now we're getting rid of
certain ones.
I mean, so the Cam Bynum rehearsed dance is totally fine,
yeah,
but the nose wipe, not good.
No. Nope.
What did Mac used to do?
The gritty?
The gritty. Is the gritty still over?
Now it's just the S-itty.
I think you could still do the sword in the sheath. On the side, like you can come across the sword.
The body sword is not violent?
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
Wait, that's not violent, though? I mean,
no,
the sword is the definition of violence.
Yeah.
Like, that's a violent weapon.
It's just stupid by the NFL. Yeah.
I don't understand their policing of all this stuff. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
You look like a bunch of old idiots.
Okay. All right, Shime, excellent lead. Thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Just wanted to say 20 years ago, in terms of opening day history, the greatest moment, all of our news boss has been emptied, so maybe we can find it later, but Mariano Rivera, Red Sox Yankees, the first opener post-World Series in 86 years, as the Yankees were introduced, as is the case every year, the Red Sox hosted the Yankees for their start of their season. The ovation Rivera got for blowing the saves, and then the way in which Mariano Rivera, the classiest guy in Yankees history, tipped his cap and turned this moment that was kind of Boston Dinkish into this all-time great moment that he rose above. And I'll never forget Francona and Torrey shook hands at home plate, and Francona told Torrey that was the classiest thing he'd ever seen. So, cool day today. Obviously nothing with that history, but I figured it was worth noting. That was awesome. You had the entire offseason of 04 knowing, whenever the schedule was released, that you were going to be hosting the Yankees as you unfurled that banner. And that moment, I think, stands alone as one of the coolest opening day moments in Red Sox history.
Curtis, thank you. We'll get to a lead from Courtney and a lead from Wiggy and a lead from yours truly next. Well, a 4:05 first pitch today with Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And one of the Wills, Will Middlebrooks, will be on this show at 8:20 this morning. And we will talk optimistically about this upcoming Red Sox season. So, and Sam Kennedy will also join us today. First front office report of the season at 9. But we have leads left this morning. And Courtney, you are up. Good morning and hello.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Yesterday, we talked a lot about White Lotus. And when Mega was on, she brought up the fact that this season has been very memeable. One of the memes that has been going viral in March is Tim Ratliff, who is a character on the show, the dad of the show, went to Duke, talks about Duke quite a bit, wears a Duke t-shirt, and no spoilers here, but at one point contemplates ending his life in said Duke t-shirt. Duke has responded. Frank Tramble, the vice president for communications, marketing, and public affairs, said in an email that the university did not approve of the use of its, quote, marks in the program. I need to read his quote because I'm so sorry. Duke takes themselves far too seriously.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Quote, Duke appreciates artistic expression and creative storytelling, but characters prominently wearing apparel bearing Duke's federally registered trademarks creates confusion and mistakenly suggests an endorsement or affiliation where none exists.
What in the world?
Are we okay?
Like, no. Get lost.
Are we okay? And then I started thinking. Yeah. I read this and I started thinking of all the different pieces of media out there for years and years and years that have depicted plenty of colleges, universities, sports teams, so on and so forth. And there's never been that outrage. One in particular, since it is opening day, Handmaid's Tale, season 2, opening episode, opens up Fenway Park. If you have not watched this episode, it is the craziest realization when you realize where they are. Mitch grabbed the photo for me. And if you look real close, WEEI, center middle.
We didn't approve that.
That's a federally trademarked logo.
This scene, they are threatening a mass hanging of women.
Oh.
And there was not this outrage.
Yeah.
Duke needs to get over themselves. You are an unbelievable university. People are going to use your name, image, and likeness.
You know what they want. Uh-huh. Duke wants their money. Got to pay them for that type of stuff.
We're not paying.
Give me
you think
a
they
break.
Paid Fenway for that? I guarantee you the people
you
paid.
Think they did?
Yeah, of course. You can't just put I don't think you can put like whether it's
a location that
I think it's like sport teams.
A character can wear a Duke sweatshirt.
Not like if you don't pay the like you couldn't use a Patriots logo in your movie and not expect without telling them.
How many guys have Yankees hats on in movies? I don't think
they
pay the Yankees.
I'm telling you, man, you just can't. I'm no Hollywood exec or director.
There was a whole TV show that the Bruins were talked about and featured in.
Behind the Bee.
No.
as long as we're talking about White Lotus, briefly, Curtis and Rich Keefe and I had a discussion yesterday about White Lotus.
Yes.
And Curtis offered one of the better potential executive orders I've ever heard of.
Oh, well, yeah.
Did I remind you of it?
Yes. If I were in charge of everything, and God knows the world would be a better place, I would ban all dream sequences in TV shows and movies.
Yes.
Wow. It is so lazy. It is a waste of time because, like any dream, it's over and it does nothing.
Correct.
So
sitting there, you come back from a break, and they run the dream sequence, and you think it's actually happening on the television program.
And in this particular series, obviously, we all know the inner turmoil and anguish that the father is enduring, given what's been going on in his professional life. It's like 3 minutes, it shocks you awake, and it does nothing. It is so lazy.
I guess Shutter Island would have never been made. Isn't that like all in Leo's head or something
gosh.
Like that?
Spoiler alert.
Wow, give me a...
That is the whole thing.
Shutter Island came out like 15 years ago.
I've seen it. That is the whole point of the movie, though.
I can see dead people. Courtney, what's the name of the Duke guy that you read in that story?
The character's
name
is
Tim Ratliff.
No. The guy from Duke.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He's the vice president of communications, Frank Tramble.
I would bet dollars to donuts that you go back and look at the lacrosse case. I bet you that guy was silent for years when that university was taken down the drain by someone without evidence.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Right.
And also, call me an idiot, but I didn't realize until yesterday that Greg, the character Greg on White Lotus, was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, that's what I saw that on social media.
I don't know how I didn't figure that out, but all-time film.
Oh.
Have you two youngins seen it?
Yeah.
Of course I've seen Napoleon Dynamite.
Well, you haven't seen Tommy Boy.
Napoleon Dynamite is not nearly as old as Tommy Boy, Curtis. Tommy Boy came out in the 90s? Napoleon Dynamite came out in the 2000s.
Oh, okay. Well,
2004, actually.
There you go.
Wasn't a Napoleon Dynamite fan.
You weren't?
No.
Gina, eat your tater tots.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
What?
Yeah, I know.
It has to be like...
It's your type of humor, and I guess that's just not mine.
If it's not your type of humor, you're not going to really vibe.
And people are like, but you like Borat? Borat is far superior.
Do the chickens have large talons?
What?
Large talons.
I don't understand a word you just said.
You're saying that Borat is far superior?
Oh, my God. It's not even close.
Gosh!
Yeah. Oh, my God. Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't laugh once.
Sweet.
It's a different type of humor.
The same thing as like that. What's that superstar where she puts her hands under her armpits and then puts them up as a superstar? What's that movie? It's like a famous movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Superstar.
You didn't laugh when LaFonda got off the bus.
Hands under the armpits.
Oh, it's called Superstar, 1999. That's another movie. People think it's so funny. Not for me. Oh, very Napoleon Dynamite.
Is that Molly Shannon?
Yes.
I didn't find that character. That's a Saturday Night Live character.
It's got to be a humor.
Anyway, I mean, I voted for Pedro, so I was in. All right. We have leads left. So we'll get to Wiggy's lead and my lead coming up. And then they set it at 7:20. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And we will go back and forth on what LeBron James said about whether he and Michael Jordan will ever speak to each other.